الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للصائم فرحتان فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable, respectable elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, as we know, today is the day of Eid, a day which commemorates and signifies the end of the month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan. And we know that in the blessed month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon this ummah, prescribed upon this ummah, fasting from Subh Sadiq in the morning till the sunset. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a special connection of the month of Ramadan with the Quran. So a believer increases his recitation of the Holy Quran, listening to the recitation of the Holy Quran in the Taraweeh Salah in the evening after Isha. And generally, the environment is such that a believer increases their worship and their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, this month, this blessed month, a full 29 or 30 days, is given to the believer as a training ground, as a way of helping and assisting the believer. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and we know this, and we have heard this time and again in terms of the fact that the shayateen are locked up during this month. So it becomes easier for a believer to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easier for a believer. And in any field or any work where a person continuously does something and he works hard and he or she tries really hard to bring a certain action into their life, whether it's healthy eating, whether it's leaving something which is damaging to health, whether it's a certain habit of waking up at a certain time in the morning. And if it's done continually for a few days, for a number of days, then it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit that can then be continued over time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this 30 days or this amount of time. And if we look and we see and we evaluate our life in terms of how many habits, good habits, how many actions have we done throughout this month that we want to continue into the next 11 months. So by the time the next Ramadan comes, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to witness the next month of Ramadan in the following year. By the time that month comes, then we have moved from somewhere. We have moved towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, my friends, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be acquired, or one of the best ways to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by doing good deeds, by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a son, if there is a father who has two sons, both of a similar age, and the father says to both sons that, do this action for me, or do this for me, or bring some water for me, or take me here, or take me there. And one son is more obedient to the father than the other, then it's common sense for us to, it's logical to think that the son that is more obedient to the father will be closer to the father than the son who is not obedient. And this is an example that we can relate to if we have children. And if we are children ourselves, that if our sibling is more proactive in being obedient to the parent, then they will generally have more of a connection with the parent. Similarly, we as believers, if we want to develop that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one of the most effective ways is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bringing the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our life will have the knock-on effect of automatically removing the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our life. If a person is performing his fara'id, he's performing his sunan, he's performing his nawafil, automatically when he wants to commit a sin, When he wants to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically he will feel a little bit of shame within himself. I've just performed Zuhr Salah, now I'm going to watch a movie. Or I have just read 2 rakats nafil and made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm now going to the cinema. Or I am listening to music on the way home from work. When I have just read my Surah Yasin in the morning, I'm going to work in the morning. I've read my Surah Yasin in the morning, which is something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then is it going to be possible for him then to turn on his radio to listen to music, which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the more obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we bring into our life, the more easy it will be for us to remove the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our life. And ultimately, today is a day of happiness. Today is a day where we get together as families, we eat, we share food, and it's a day to eat. And it's a day of happiness. But who is it a day of happiness for? Is it a day of happiness for the person who only read one Taraweeh Salah in the masjid, who fasted for half of the month but not for the rest of the month? Is it a day of happiness for the person who recited Quran but was very lax, and he was very slow in terms of picking up the Quran and reciting the Quran? Is it a day of happiness for this individual? Is it a day of happiness for the person who didn't increase his charity throughout the month? It's a question for us to ask. For us, because we live in a materialistic world, happiness is signified by showing through our actions. In terms of, say a person is wearing new clothes. He has a new thawb on, a new hat, a new jacket, a new jumper. And we know how seriously we take this, or individuals take this, because they will go shopping for Eid in terms of buying new clothes. But is this really the way that we are signifying happiness to and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is this a con? A person, you know, making himself feel better that today is my Eid as well, because I am a Muslim, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of what I did good or what I didn't do good in the month of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ, for the one who fasts, there are two moments of happiness. فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ, that when he breaks his fast, when he or she breaks their fast, then that is a moment of happiness for the person who has fasted for that 14 hours, 16 hours, or however long the fast was. And there will be another happiness, عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ, when the day will come when he will meet his Creator. And when the believer is going to Jannah, there will be a moment in Jannah where we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that time. And depending, the ulama mentioned, that depending on the connection that one has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on how much recognition he has of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will determine for how long and for which moments he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. So if a person has the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is only at the time of difficulty, so every once in a while he'll make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll come to the masjid, for you have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon his sins and enter him into Jannah. But that person will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala less than the person who has ma'rifah and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout his life, 24 hours of the day, 7 days of the week, 365 days of the year. So if a person has the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has a recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what do I mean by that? That a person is walking, he is aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, "Mal ihsan?" What is ihsan? "An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara," that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you can see him. "Fa'in lam takun tara fa'innahu yaraak," and if you can't imagine that, then he is looking at you and he is observing you. This is the ultimate quality of ihsan. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about iman, was asked about Islam, and then was asked about ihsan, the quality of ihsan. When we think of ihsan in the Urdu language, which also has a similar meaning in the Arabic language, we think of doing good to somebody, being favorable to somebody. But ihsan has this meaning as well, whereby a person has the recognition and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we find in the lives of the Sahaba. Subhanallah, in the lives of the Sahaba, we find this quality of ihsan. Once, and I mentioned this in the tafsir as well during the month of Ramadan, and just for the benefit of those who weren't here, once at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the khalifa, he's the Amirul Mu'mineen, reigning over the whole of the Arabian Peninsula at that time. There is the spread of Islam in the Sassanid Empire, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire as well, the Byzantine Empire, the Muslims are there as well. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is dealing with the different issues within the peninsula, within the whole Arabian Peninsula, as Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, his khilafah was for around 2 years. So if you think about it in terms of how much responsibility Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had on his head at that moment in time. But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the responsibility that he had on his shoulders of the populace, of the Muslim ummah, he took on his head and he took on his shoulders. And how do we know this? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he would see Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu going to the house, into one house, one small house in Medina Munawara every morning after Fajr Salah. And Abu Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an individual who would look to try and compete with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He knew the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a Siddiq, he helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know his level and his status. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would keep an eye on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in terms of what good deeds is he doing so that I can surpass, or I can try to surpass. See, this was the thing, that the Sahaba were greedy for those things that's beneficial for them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكْ. Be greedy for that which is beneficial for you. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Don't lose hope. So the Sahaba used to, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. They would compete with one another in good deeds. Me and you, we compete in the car that we drive, the house that we have, how big our extension is, what clothes that we wear. When we're younger, the clothes that we wear. And we compete in all of these things. But the Sahaba would compete with one another in good deeds. And this is the thing that we're supposed to compete in. Right? To be greedy per se is not a negative trait. In certain quarters, it can be negative in terms of if a person is greedy towards food or various other aspects. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that certain times one should be greedy, especially in those times whereby there is something beneficial for you. A person is reciting 1,000 times Durood Sharif, you want to beat him, be greedy to read 1,500 times. That's something that's good. So the Sahaba would have this quality and this trait of wanting to outdo or be better than the next Sahabi. And not out of malice, out of love for deen, out of love for the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is going into this house every single day. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees that this is the practice of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So one day, after Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes into the house. And he sees a woman, an old woman who is blind. And he sees that she's sitting in one corner, it's a small house. And he asks, inquires from this lady, this old lady, that this person comes in. Why does he come in? So she says, there's an individual, I don't know who he is, she can't see, I don't know who he is. He comes into the house, he cleans my whole house, he prepares breakfast for me, leaves the breakfast without saying and uttering a word, he leaves and he goes out of the house. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, being the Khalifa of the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, having so many issues to deal with, would be worried about this individual as well. This one individual, this one old lady who was blind. Time moves on, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala leaves the world. Umar radiallahu ta'ala becomes the Khalifa. See, when one leader is good, then the following leader will want to follow in his footsteps. He'll want to do the same. He'll want to benefit. And especially when you have the ma'rif and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person then does things out of sincerity. So this deed then continues. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then goes into the house, continuing the practice of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He cleans the house, he prepares the breakfast. He does it for one day, another day, third day, fourth day, continues. And then one day he goes inside and does exactly what he used to do previously. And the old lady says to him, again, the old lady doesn't know this is Amirul Mu'mineen. She just sees that the man is coming. She thinks he's the same person. But she says to him, has your friend left the world? Is your friend no longer here? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala is perplexed. This woman cannot see. She's old. She's weak. She's feeble. She can't see. She doesn't know. He's in his understanding. He's doing exactly what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to do. So Umar Radiallahu says that, how do you know this? What makes you say this? So she says that your friend would clean my house, he would prepare my breakfast, and when he would give me the dates, he'd take out the seed and then give me the breakfast. You leave the seed inside. You leave the seed inside and you give me the breakfast. And that's how she realized that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left the world. So the Sahaba, they were greedy to, you know, compete with one another in terms of doing good deeds. So today is a day of happiness. But who is it a day of happiness for? Is it a day of happiness for me? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. That have I fasted for 30 days? Have I read Taraweeh Salah for 29 nights? How much of the Quran did I recite this year? And how much did I recite last year? How much charity did I give? How many hearts did I break in this month? How many individuals did I fight with? Did I argue with? How is my relationship with my wife in this blessed month of Ramadan? And if we can truly, hand on heart, say that I fasted for 30 days, I performed Taraweeh Salah for 29 nights, I made sure that to the best of my ability, gave as much charity as I could, my relationship with the majority, if not all the individuals, is good. It doesn't mean that we have to be completely, you know, in terms of very close to everybody. We can do salam, wa alaykum salam to anybody and everybody. Then for that individual, it's a day of happiness. But if a person didn't fast, if a person didn't perform Taraweeh Salah, or he performed Taraweeh Salah, but he waited till the Imam finished Surah Fatiha, finished his tilawat, and went into ruku, and then he went into ruku after that. Then for that person, it's not complete happiness. We're conning ourselves. We're kidding ourselves that for me it's happiness, today is a day of Eid, because you know, I went through the month of Ramadan as well. And if we ask ourselves, hand on heart, that did I do the best I could? It's the human nature that the person will say that, no, I could have done better. I could have done better. And this is why the ulama mentioned that at the end of the month of Ramadan, we should be doing istighfar. We should be doing istighfar. We should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ultimately, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists the injunctions pertaining to the month of Ramadan in terms of who has to fast, when a person is traveling, is ill, how ill, so forth. The fact that the month of Ramadan was the month in which the Quran was revealed. At the end of the discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for the believer, not difficulty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, so that you may complete the number of days, either 29 or 30 based on the sighting of the moon. And وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. This is why we did the takbir al-tashriq. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. That on the way here we read, and on the way back we go another way home, which is sunnah, and we don't read then, but that's another sunnah that we need to practice upon, and in the khutbah we recited as well the takbir. So this is an injunction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ, upon the fact that He guided you. Guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our responsibility is, if we are lazy, then the guidance won't come. If we show talab, we show that enthusiasm, that zeal, that I want to be a 5 times namazi in the masjid, I want to perform my 5 times salah in the masjid with jama'ah outside of the month of Ramadan as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us here. Guidance, there are two meanings to guidance. One is that you show person way, the way. Person asks you where is London, so you go down the M1, junction 5 or 6, whatever it may be, and that's how you get to London. The other definition of guidance is that you take the person from here to London and you actually physically get into the car and you take the person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes shows us the way. This is the masjid, adhan is happening, we see people are going to the masjid, we are driving past, but we'll drive past. We've seen it. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the person and bring him into the masjid. He's driving, his car will break down, he'll come into the masjid. He's driving, a thought will come into his mind, you know, I should go into the masjid. This is from Allah. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and so that you may be grateful. Ultimately, it's the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our responsibility is, and this is what we learn from the prophetic narrations as well, that if we show talab, if we show the enthusiasm, the zeal, the determination, that I want to have the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us to Him, closer to Him. So again, I leave you with the question, who is this day a day of happiness for? And if it's not a day of happiness for you fully, then we should increase the number, the amount of istighfar we do, and this will inshallah increase the amount of happiness that we have today. And we should make a strong intention that throughout the 11 months until next Ramadan, I'm going to increase my tilawah, I'm going to increase my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a form of being grateful and showing, doing istighfar. Doing istighfar. And when the next Ramadan comes and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if we've wasted this Ramadan, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see another Ramadan. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when the next Ramadan comes, from now we write, today, not tomorrow, today, we write on a piece of paper and we save it. Not on our phones, on a piece of paper somewhere, put it safe, that next Ramadan, I need to make more of an effort, and this is how I'm going to make an effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to truly value these blessed moments that come from time to time. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that the ultimate happiness, the happiness of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ultimate happiness, the happiness of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannatul Firdaus is something that He grants every single one of us. And that we are able to experience this as well. There's a request now to, before I just make the sufuf, just to mention, because obviously we only have Eid Salah twice a year, just to quickly go through the method. First and foremost, we make intention that it's a wajib salah. It's a wajib salah with 6 extra takbirs. The imam then will say Allahu Akbar. When the first Allahu Akbar is said, we raise our hands and fold our hands. This is where we read Thana, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, until the end. And then the imam will say Allahu Akbar, we raise our hands and put them to the side. Then the imam will say Allahu Akbar again, we raise our hands and put them to the side. When the third takbir, the fourth takbir is said, then we'll say Allahu Akbar and we'll fold our hands. The imam will then recite Surah Fatiha, Qirat, and the rak'at will continue as normal. When we get up for the second rak'at, our hands will be folded, imam will recite Surah Fatiha, a surah, and then the imam will say Allahu Akbar 3 times. So Allahu Akbar, all 3 times we raise our hands, put them to the side. Allahu Akbar again, 2nd time. Allahu Akbar 3rd time. And then the 4th time, Allahu Akbar, we go into ruku and the salah will then be concluded. Thereafter, the khutbah will be given. To sit for the khutbah is also obligatory. A person should sit for the khutbah as well. And that's the method for performing Eid Salah. But I requested now just to stand up, quickly make the sufuf so we can start our salah. Inshallah. Just wait a couple of moments just to make sure that the sufuf are made at the back. Please are requested to straighten the rows, make sure all the gaps are, and if there's any children, then below the age of 13, then just to make sure they stand at the end of the saf. So any of the saf after the second saf, if there's any children under the age of 13, they're requested to stand at the end. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى. ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟ وجوه يومئذ خاشعة، عاملة ناصبة، تصلى نارا حامية، تسقى من عين آنية، ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع، وجوه يومئذ ناعمة، لسعيها راضية، في جنة عالية، لا تسمع فيها لاغية، فيها عين جارية، فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة، ونمارق مصفوفة، وزرابي مبثوثة. أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الله أكبر 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 لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد سبحان مالك الملك ذي الجلال والإكرام سبحان الملك الحي الذي لا يموت ولا ينام سبحان الذي أضاء قلوب الصائمين بضوء الصيام سبحان الذي نور صدور الصائمين بنور القيام وطهر قلوبهم بالذكر والتلاوة والتراويح وختم القرآن العظيم سبحان الذي أجلى فؤاد المتقين الصائمين بالطاعة والإخلاص في الليالي والأيام وروح مراح الذاكرين بذكر الملك الحنان المنان العلام سبحان من جعل العيد شعارا للإسلام ودثارا للأنام وماحيا للآثام وأطلع هلال العيد من أفق البعيد فعاد يوم العيد ذو الاحترام ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله رسول المشرقين وإمام المغربين صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين المرضيين من بعده وسلم تسليمًا دائمًا مبارَكًا كثيرًا كثيرًا معاشر المسلمين رحمكم الله اعلموا أن يومكم هذا يوم عظيم عظَّمه الله وشرَّفه ورفع قدره وعزَّته يوم الزينة والعيد يوم الفضل المزيد يوم ضيافة الرب للبعيد للعبيد يوم اجتماع القريب والبعيد يوم الندم والاستغفار يوم التوبة والاعتذار يوم الرجاء والعفو والغفران يوم استجابة الدعوات والرضوان يوم ختم الله به الشهر المبارك رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن يوم أحل الله لكم فيه الطعام وحرم عليكم فيه الصيام واعلموا أيها المؤمنون ليس العيد لمن لبس الجديد إنما العيد لمن أمن الوعيد ليس العيد لمن تبخر بالعود إنما العيد لمن تاب ولا يعود ليس العيد